to Oversight Board.
That's what it was about.
Somebody cut sunroofs into two armored vehicles that the MBTA uses to transport all of its fare money. So let me say this again. Somebody cut sunroofs into two armored vehicles that the MBTA uses to transport all of its fare money. You know why armored vehicles don't have sunroofs? Because they're armored vehicles.
One would assume.
I don't know if they put bulletproof, maybe they put bulletproof glass into these sunroofs. All I know.
I'm just picturing going down, you know, 93, just dollar bills just flying out everywhere.
No, because the money is actually in the back. But you can shoot at the sunroof and get the driver and then steal. Ask somebody in Charlestown.
Who is responsible for? Do they know?
We don't know. We don't know. That was the most egregious problem.
They're so smart over there.
But, I mean, who does this?
Right. Hey, Bobby. I'm bored today. Let's put a sunroof in our armored car.
It's WMFO Medford.
All right. Twitter ban.
That would be, is it Milos Yiannopoulos, or what's his first name?
Ooh, really close. Milo.
Milo, yeah. Milo.
Good old Greek boy.
Yiannopoulos. The flamingly outspoken tech editor for Breitbart News was banned permanently from Twitter after getting into a bit of a row with Leslie Jones over the Ghostbusters movie, in which he...
Who is one of the stars.
In which he said some...
racially, fairly sexually driven.
I don't know that he actually crossed the line into racism, but he said some pretty weak stuff.
It was
assumed
by some people. And
Yeah, but the things that liberals assume are racism often are not racism.
True.
So you can't use that as an example.
It's interesting, though, but because the social media service is really pushing this and watching content of people and apparently banning them. So
Twitter is banning certain users
because they're getting a lot of backlash
because Leslie Jones is reporting them, and Leslie Jones has been all over the news talking about how bad Twitter is. The interesting thing is Twitter only seems to ban users who are conservative. And that's fairly well documented at this point.
It's true.
So if you're a liberal, spout all the hate that you want. If you're a conservative, better keep your mouth shut, at least if you're on the Twitters. Olympics tickets.
They're still incredibly low. I want to say still less than 60% are sold for most of the events.
Yes, but what are they doing to fix that?
They're giving away free tickets to some of the poor people. I know that. I think. I don't know. I got half of it. Half.
No, you didn't even get half.
Yeah, sort of.
No, you didn't get half.
Ticket sales are low, which is a fact.
If you'd given me the number that are left, I would have given you half. You did not. You said 60%. There are 2 million tickets to the Rio Olympics.
So what's the percentage of that?
Still available. I don't know.
Let's figure out the percentage, because I think I read somewhere at 60%.
2 million tickets. So, in the hopes of shifting these 2 million tickets, the Brazil is now selling tickets directly all over the world. So no matter what country you're in, you can go to the Brazil Olympic site and you can buy your tickets with no service fees, with no interstate, with no like inter-country charges.
So it's like
charges,
roll call, but you can...
And you're buying them in Brazilian real. So you're probably getting Olympics tickets for $5.
That's crazy.
Making these the cheapest Olympics tickets of the last 40-odd years.
It's like the Red Sox last year. You couldn't give away your tickets.
Yeah. So that's how bad things
they're
are.
They're just,
it's going to be a quiet Olympics.
Each of those Zika-infected mosquitoes will be having a ticket.
By the way, buy Olympics tickets. The Zika is free. I think that's part of the marketing campaign. The Zika is free. You can also choose to get complimentary pink eye if you go take a dip in Pooh Bay.
Yeah, the ticket should come with one of those mosquito netting. All right, Queen.
Queen the band or Queen the person?
Queen the Band.
Queen the Band.
I'm throwing you softballs.
Queen the Band, which I believe at this point is mostly Brian May.
Yes.
He's the one that's saying all of this. Queen the Band was none too happy with Donald Trump's choice of We Are the Champions for his silhouetted walking out music at the clown show the other night, also known as the Republican National Convention, and made their displeasure known. Unfortunately, there really isn't a damn thing that they can do about it. Anybody can play any music that they want, and they get the royalties either way. So if you want to put your money where your mouth is, I guess you donate those 5 cents to charity.
Mm-hmm. It's this is the second time that it's actually happened. And Brian May did go on his personal website originally and wrote this sort of open letter to Donald Trump saying, don't use it.
Yeah.
But this time he went on Twitter and said, you know, the band does not condone the use of We Are the Champions. Kim, you know Kim, my best friend, she texted me right after that and told me that all of our forefathers were rolling in their graves that evening when they saw that spectacle of the RNC going on.
The Rolling Stones and REM have also repeatedly requested that
multiple, please do Donald not Trump use don't. Our song.
And why Trump would ever use an REM song would be beyond me.
Because, a little depressing.
Because they were the most vitriolic haters of Republicans in the mid-90s in the music industry.
Mm-hmm. But apparently nobody's really thinking clear over in the Trump camp.
Yeah.
And they don't care.
They're too busy plagiarizing Michelle Obama's speech because Melania likes Michelle. Well, that's good. That's good. You know
the
what?
Thing is, though, I mean, you know what? She's not a political wife. I will give her that.
Do you suppose she's sitting there saying...
And what, English is her fourth language? So.
Do you suppose she's... Which is a good point to bring up, by the way, that English is her fourth language, which is...
Much more than most people.
Four more languages than the average American
exactly.
can successfully speak. But do you think she's sitting there saying, wow, I really like Michelle Obama. I can't say that, so maybe I'll just use some of her speech.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. Obviously, there's way too much focus on it.
Yeah.
Just because it is Trump and everybody that is in the liberal left media, everybody that is in the Never Donald Trump campaign, of course there is going to... If it was anybody else, would we be talking about it still 3 days later? Probably not.
What are we talking about? 34 words out of 1,000?
Mm-hmm.
And basically restating views that should be held by every American?
I actually...
come on.
Liked the response from one of the heads in Trump campaign and said, you know, he was quoting My Little Pony and how some parts of that were used. I thought that was hilarious. But there are these, you know, video clips that are going out on the internet that you can look up, and a lot of Obama speeches were taken from Deval Patrick's.
Oh, yeah.
Many of them.
Yeah.
I mean, look at Joe Biden. He had to stop campaigning in, what was that, like 88? Because he plagiarized. My only concern is, you're doing it now. What about on the bigger picture?
She's not gonna give any more speeches.
Of course.
This is the one thing you do as first lady.
You have to look at it as everybody. Last night, I thought Donald Trump Jr. was amazing. And obviously, Ivanka on Thursday is going to be the big spectacle.
Are we talking about the clown show? I thought we said we weren't going to talk about the clown show.
On to the next.
Please, no more about the clown show. Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack.
That's what you give me.
Yeah.
Say it again.
Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack. You're 0-3 right now.
I'm giving you softballs, and you're giving me far more difficult
ones. I'm giving you ridiculous softballs.
What you consider softballs is not...
This was above the fold on Drudge, USA Today, CNN, MSN, and it was the number two story on CBS Evening News.
Was this the algae that's happening in Florida?
No.
That is overtaking, but that's a huge problem.
That and I just love saying...
The agricultural blooms.
I just love saying Vilsack.
Oh, I know, go on.
You know that he's the agriculture secretary.
Yes.
Tom Vilsack. Along with Virginia Senator Tim Kaine. Ringing any bells?
Nope.
Is one of Hillary Clinton's two finalists to be her vice presidential candidate.
Mm. I knew Vilsack.
This was everywhere all day today. I woke up this morning. This was on the radio. It followed me around every place.
That's funny. Not me.
It's not like you forget the name Vilsack when you hear it.
Yeah.
You know, Vice President Vilsack. Can't wait for that. It's going to be a great time to be a farmer in
America.
But
now the big question is, are you surprised that it's not a woman?
No, I'm not. Because the only option that they had for a woman was the crazy lady.
Yeah.
And she's a crazy lady.
And they quickly vetted that away from...
They decided, unlike...
slow fade.
Unlike John McCain, they decided not to go with the crazy lady.
Mm-hmm. All right. Anthem and Aetna.
Anthem and Aetna merger has been denied by the Federal Trade Commission on the grounds that it would limit consumer choice. Aetna, however, I think it's Aetna, has said that they're going to sue to try and preserve this merger.
Mm-hmm. Now, Anthem was trying to acquire Cigna. Aetna was trying to acquire Humana. It's interesting because... this is something that has to do with Obamacare.
Yeah.
And you never trust
I think it has to do with being big enough to opt out of Obamacare is what they're going for.
But, I mean, come on. You have an insurance company wanting to merge to become bigger and saying that it's going to help you, Derek. It's going to help your pocket. Come on. Are we really believing that?
I believe that wholeheartedly. Why would an insurance company lie to me?
I wonder why.
They're such noble people in the insurance business. You have to get this.
You can't do that.
There's no way that you don't get this.
You can't start with that.
Sales tax.
There's going to be no sales tax in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts.
Which hopefully means that the furniture...
no sales tax holiday.
That the furniture companies will find some other gimmick to promote because they all look like idiots right now with their, hey, the sales tax holiday is coming up, but you can save double the sales tax right now.
Yeah, it's not happening.
Knock me over a 12% discount on my furniture. How exciting.
Or you can do like many people and just go to New Hampshire every day.
This is fantastic news for New Hampshire as things decided in the Massachusetts legislature typically are.
Anti-doping.
Anti-doping, are we talking about the...
just broke right before our show, so I'm talking about like an hour before the show.
Are we talking about the Russians?
Yes.
Are we talking about the Russians have been banned from the Rio Olympics?
Is it definite? As of an hour ago, you had leaders from 14 nations going to the IOC president, Thomas Bach, saying, no, Russia is not in it. So I guarantee you are going to see no Russian athletes, specifically in the tennis, definitely track and field, sailing, rowing.
I wouldn't be so sure about that because here's the problem. Here's the problem.
A lot of people from Russia are actually going to Brazil.
A lot of people from Russia are going to watch this on TV. And the Olympics global sponsors, your Adidas and your Coca-Cola and your Sony or Samsung or whoever else has shelled out $1 billion to make this thing happen.
Which is barely happening.
The Russian market. And if the Russian athletes don't go, the Russian eyeballs aren't tuned in, those advertising dollars are wasted. True. So this is going to be interesting.
Isn't that crazy to think about the power of money and how much it can affect? I mean, you have multiple instances where athletes were caught doping multiple times throughout many Olympics and now are, that's fine, you can go.
The only way the Russians
are... it matters about sponsors.
The only way the Russians are actually going to get banned from this Olympics is if a lot of other major countries, particularly English-speaking countries, like... say, for example, because the United States won't say a word about this. We can't. Mm-hmm. We've seen as politically motivated, which the Russian ban is anyway, by the way.
Which we've had brought up on the show.
I've said that. It's a political witch hunt. But if you got Australia and England and New Zealand and Japan and South Korea and Singapore and a few other countries to come out and say, we're not sending any athletes if Russia goes, then Russia's going to be out. Short of that, Russia will be there. And there may be asterisks, and there may be all sorts of additional drug testing and medals reallocated after the fact. But make no mistake, The advertisers want the Russians in the Olympics, and the advertisers run the International Olympic Committee.
It's true. All right, you're up.
What have we got? Laverne and Shirley.
Were inducted. Have a star?
Nope.
On the Walk of Fame? I don't know. Laverne and Shirley.
Yeah.
What was it in entertainment news? When was this?
Yeah, this was today. This was the biggest entertainment story
apparently,
today.
I didn't look at any news today.
Apparently,
that's so strange because I did for multiple hours. Maybe it's that cold weather that's affecting me. I only function well in 90 degrees plus.
This was another one. Molly actually woke me up and told me this story this morning. So I know.
Well, you know what? If she had posted on her Facebook, then I probably would have.
I'm surprised you hadn't seen that on your Facebook. Laverne and Shirley creator Gary Marshall died today at the age of 81.
Well, if you said Gary Marshall.
If I say Gary Marshall, it's obvious.
But I mean, there's so much to Laverne and Shirley.
His sister was one of the co-stars.
That's true. What else could you have given me that I would have known?
Happy Days?
Yeah, I would have known that.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Mork and Mindy?
Yes.
Pretty Woman?
Yes, I knew that. Directed.
The Princess Diaries?
No, didn't know that.
Beaches?
It's one of my favorite movies.
The Flamingo Kid?
I don't know what that is.
It was an early Matt Dillon movie.
Really?
Yeah.
But, no, I knew that. Yeah.
Yeah. So, Gary Marshall, really, really quite an accomplished guy. And brother of Penny Marshall.
Mm-hmm.
So, sad to see him go.
We doing one bonus one?
Yeah, we can do a bonus one.
All right. Gavin Eugene Long.
Oh, good God. I saw Gavin Eugene Long is the gentleman that shot up all those police Baton Rouge, Louisiana.
What did you do? Nothing.
Over the weekend.
I mean, I would have thought from the cookout that we both went to on Saturday, you would have a hangover for 4 days and maybe not been functioning properly.
Oh, no. I'm not. that's way, way up on the radar screen.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's see. What have I got? That's a little too obscure. Dollar Shave Club was bought by Unilever for 1
yes,
billion shaves.
I knew that.
It's pretty nice. But they're also being sued by Gillette. Not so nice. 46 million dollars. We'll say $46
million. $46 million was spent to hold the RNC?
Nope. Number two. I'll give you another clue.
That's your clue?
Yeah.
Number two?
$46 million and number two.
Number two. Wait, is this how much it's costing for the new stadium in Dallas?
No.
Oh, no, that's $1.6 billion.
That's not the stadium. That's the new Cowboys headquarters.
Yes, headquarters.
That's
Jerry World.
That's the Jerry World Private Club is costing $1.6 billion.
That's true.
Yeah.
What is it?
That is $46 million is the amount of money that Ghostbusters made at the box office this past weekend, which sounds good until you realize the movie finished number two overall, behind The Secret Life of Pets in its second week in the theaters.
Yeah. And come on, though. The weeks leading up to the release of the new Ghostbusters, everybody was knocking it. But I think it got like 1.3 on Rotten Tomatoes.
Oh, no. It's around 76% on Rotten Tomatoes. Yeah. So it didn't
I read an article that it was saying it was awful.
Oh, it is awful. And
everybody's status that I looked at said, I feel like 2 hours were sucked from my life.
Yeah, there are plenty of critics who think it was awful, and it is awful. And the fact that it only made $46 million is bad.
Summer's always a tough time. And I feel like we talk about that every summer
this is bad because this is a movie that they were expecting Jurassic World or Force Awakens performance from.
The 100 plus club?
This is like more than the 100 plus club. This is like we're expecting.
No, I'm talking about opening weekend.
Oh, I think you're expecting 70 to 80 opening weekend if the film's going to be a success on the way to $500 million to justify.
During its longevity, yeah.
They spent $250 million between making and marketing this movie.
Mm-hmm.
And it made $46 million.
It's on every product.
It's going to lose money. It's going to lose money for Sony. It's going to lose money for everybody who did the product tie-ins. It's dead.
Yeah.
So congratulations to Paul Feig and Melissa McCarthy. You did actually ruin the Ghostbusters franchise. Mm. Not anybody's childhood, but you did actually ruin the franchise. 855-915-9636 is the telephone number. 855-915-9636. They didn't even have 855 when I was a kid. Didn't it? Wasn't
it's a thing.
855-915-9636 is the number. When we come back on The Big Picture, we will be talking about the recent attacks in Nice, France, and Germany, and what, if anything, we can do about the lone wolf terrorist attacker here on WMFO Medford.
hardware store.
Oh, will you pick up 800 lumen bulbs?
800 more flowers? The neighbors will think we're wacky.
Not flower bulbs, light bulbs.
Come on, Dad. Lumens tell you how bright the bulb is. We can replace our 60-watt bulbs with energy-saving bulbs that give off about 800 lumens.
So, we'll save money.
Right.
Got it. 800 lumens and more savings.
Lumens, the new way to shop for light. Learn more at energysavers.gov.
Ranger Station.
Yeah, hi. I'd like to report a bear sighting, as in Smokey Bear. I was about to start up my ATV on a trail near a bunch of dry brush, and Smokey told me that was dangerous because one spark can start a wildfire.
Did you know that 9 out of 10 wildfires are caused by humans?
No kidding.
I'm a forest ranger. We never kid.
Sorry.
Kidding. Get your Smokey on. If you see someone in danger of starting a wildfire, step in and make a difference. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
I don't know what the heck is going on with this. Did I press a button on the board? I think I may have. And my apologies for that. Let's do this. And yeah, that's not bringing you back. All right. So it is WMFO Medford, 91.5 FM. It is a big picture. Derek, Gary, and Lisa Nichols with you until 9 o'clock tonight, when On the Tell, Mikey D will be here with everything you need to know about the Boston music scene. 855-915-9636 is the telephone number. Here now is Lisa Nichols.
Hi. You kicked me off the show. I see how it is.
Somebody pressed a button, so there's...
Do you have a new co-host waiting?
There is weird-ass stuff going on with this board right now. Yeah. Weird-ass stuff. I don't know what that phone number is.
I thought you were like, you know what?
Why that looks like that.
We got a radio divorce.
Okay. I think the board...
But I'm back. The most important part of the show.
I think the board has become sentient, and it is doing its best to drive us off the air.
You know that every broadcast, it wants to just screw with your life a little bit more and make it difficult. But it's challenging you, so it's a good thing, Derek.
Oh, ISIS has claimed responsibility for our problems with the board.
Yeah. Now, as I said earlier in the show, normally this time of year in the summer, we have a very, very slow news cycle. Unfortunately, we have constantly... very, very big stories. Two stories that just came out, one beginning on Thursday and one Monday night. Crowds of people on Thursday night were killed when a large truck plowed through a Bastille Day crowd. This is in Nice, France. And it was what President Francois Hollande called, it was a terrorist attack. The death toll grew. I think the exact number that we're at now, because many people were critically injured and unfortunately so incredibly sad, many of these victims were children.
They still don't have an official victims list yet.
There was 77. I think the interior minister came out and said upwards of 82.
84 is the current death toll. And by this point, probably won't rise, but you never know.
Mm-hmm. No, because people were critically injured. What had happened was, as far as we know now, ISIS sympathizer, I guess you could say. He was shot in the truck from police. He didn't go into just one crowd. He started at the top of where the spectators were standing, and I believe he went over a mile just completely barreling and crowding through people.
Mohammed Boulel is this gentleman. He rented a truck, got himself a handgun, not an easy thing to do in France, threw some fake grenades and fake guns into the truck, pulled up along the Place Américaine, or the Rue Américaine, right there on the beach in Nice. We're on the French Riviera. They're watching fireworks. And as the fireworks ended, he opened fire on the crowd and then drove his truck full speed down the street, swerving left and right to maximize the carnage until police caught up with him and shot him to death.
Now, at the time, obviously, when we hear, they didn't know that many of these grenades and weapons were fake.
Right.
He actually only had the one. He might have had one other one, but was it just the single gun that he was using to shoot?
Yes, he had one.
Was actually real. Working gun.
One actual functional firearm, which even that is very difficult to get your hands on.
What killed most of the people were the deadly weapon that he had was his car, the truck.
Yeah.
Now, after this had happened, we hear on Monday night, an axe-wielding man attacked several people on a train in southern Germany. And the assailant was armed with a knife and an axe. He was identified as 17-year-old Afghan man living in Oschfurt, Bavaria. He did travel up with his family. There are
You must be talking about somebody else. Muhammad Riyad, 17 years old.
I'm switching the stories.
An unaccompanied migrant who arrived in Germany at the age of 15.
Mm-hmm. He also had false papers because there's speculation of where he's from.
He was given asylum on the belief that he was from Afghanistan. Mm-hmm. That's why they let him in. A raid of the home that he was living in found a Pakistani passport, and videos that he posted online contained language that suggested he at least spent enough time in Pakistan to learn the language. So there's a question now, is he an Afghan? Is he a Pakistani? They don't know. They don't know why he went off. They found a homemade ISIS flag in his room. So another one for the caliphate.
Yeah, this was a family. The people that were attacked was a family, mother and father, daughter, and I believe it was a daughter's boyfriend who were attacked. They were from Hong Kong.
Yeah, not even Germans.
Yeah, sitting in a car, if you look at any of the pictures, what many people describe as a slaughterhouse.
Yeah.
There are blood stains everywhere, all over this carriage. And, he didn't come out he was screaming Allah Akbar, running up and down the train. So that's a pretty good giveaway. On both of these incidents, ISIS is coming forward, or pro ISIS propaganda groups, media groups are saying, yes, we back them, but there's still no connections. What is the Nice attack? In both situations, they were known by police, but mostly for petty arrests.
The guy in Nice was known as a bit of a nutcase and a general nuisance.
Yeah.
Was not known to be religious at all. The young man in Germany, obviously 15, 16 years old, is not going to have any kind of a police record. But the records that they had on him suggested that he was a well-adjusted, hardworking young man.
Mm-hmm.
The reality appears to be that in his case, he was at least somewhat mentally unhinged. And this is where we enter into a new dimension with everything that is going on. Because ISIS has claimed responsibility for both of these attacks. And in the case of the young man in Germany, he had a handmade ISIS flag. So clearly he is acting in the name of the caliphate. The guy in France is a little bit more unclear. This may just be random whack job that either someone sympathetic to ISIS convinced to carry out this attack, or it could be something that he came up with entirely on his own.
It
has nothing at all to do with ISIS or terrorism, but because he is an Algerian native, because he is a Muslim, we're going to lump it in with the rest of the terrorism. And we have to be very, very careful about doing that, because neither one of these attacks are attacks that could have been prevented.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? You could probably prevent the attack on the train if you have metal detectors and somebody actually searching people getting on the train for axes. Because if you got a system...
Apparently, that's the thing.
In the day and age that we live in now, unfortunately, if you have a system that allows someone to bring an axe onto a train, sooner or later, someone will use that axe to attack other people.
One would hope not, but it happens.
Yeah, so Germany's got to step up their security game a little bit on this, because that's unacceptable. If this was the United States and an attack like that happened, you wouldn't be allowed to bring metal on a train. You wouldn't be allowed to bring anything metal.
No backpacks, nothing. You're carrying clear bags. No, but you know what? That is...
You show up at Amtrak with an axe now, they're going to throw you in jail.
That is what is so confusing, because after what happened in Germany, what happened after in Nice, people demand answers. We demand answers. And that's basic requirement to understand what has happened, to deal with how to, you know, cope with it in the future and how to prevent it. So many questions float around. What's motivation? Are there links to any other individuals? And that's what we're trying to figure out right now. Was there any sort of ISIS sympathy, or were they getting funded, which doesn't seem likely at the point? Also, how did the killer arrive to kill? I mean, these are questions that you ask in any sort of thing.
Well,
if it's, you know, we look at white people who buy guns and they shoot up schools or they shoot up, you know, cinemas, they're put into this category of lone wolves.
Yeah.
And then we have any sort of individual that is from Muslim background, they're automatically put into this category of terrorism. Lately, it's all over the place, because before, we're not just talking about guns. We're now having somebody that is plowing through hundreds of people and killing now upwards of 80-some-odd people.
Yeah. Well, in the case of the German attack, the solution is don't let people with axes onto your train.
But look at the situation that we had, what was that, 6-7 months ago, when you had the man that the FBI was following around for months. He had a machete.
Yeah.
And he had started his morning. Where he was going in Jamaica Plains is still unknown. Luckily, we have pretty good intelligence here in the United States that put a stop to it before anybody would be tragically killed.
But
he could have jumped on. And I believe when we talked about it, you had brought that up. What if he got on the MBTA?
Right. Let me
go. Crowded time, you could easily kill 20 people.
Let me go back to this point, okay? You should not be letting people get on your train with an axe. How is somebody with an axe, who is not a woodsman, who is not a lumberjack, who is not a firefighter...
You don't believe...
Walking onto a train.
You don't believe during a Red Sox game...
I understand.
When you have all those people in Kenmore Square, that if you tuck an axe and you have some sort of trench coat or large coat...
I'm
going to
stop
it,
you right there, because I don't want that type of advice being disseminated. Because you're correct, okay? But
it's reality.
That's an open public space. We're talking about a train. Somebody walked into a station, bought a ticket, got onto the platform.
No, it's the same of going into South Station or North Station,
right,
and taking the commuter rail.
If you need security to keep axes off of your train, then get security and keep axes off your train. This, by the way, is, I think, the second time in 6 months that we've had an attack on a train in Germany. I forget when it was that the guy with the gun...
He tried to.
...was trying to kill people, and the three Americans stopped him. That was on another German train. So Germany is not doing their part to keep dangerous people off of their trains. That's how you fix that. Let's see some security on your trains. It's not going to stop guys like Muhammad from going and killing people in public, as you suggested, but it keeps them from killing people in a confined space, which is really what they're looking to do. Nobody can run away when they're on the train, so they got more time to axe everybody. Not good. The thing in France, years ago, when I was a younger, more foolish man, I had some dreams of possibly working for the Central Intelligence Agency. And so I took the prep for the CIA entrance exam, which goes into very great depth about what the CIA is, what it does, how terrorism works, all of that sort of thing. This sort of situation doesn't even exist. Did not even exist 25 years ago. Okay? No one had, because the biggest fear that the CIA had back then was an organization like Al-Qaeda, where you have all of these little terrorist cells that don't communicate with each other.
It's not the terrorism 101 where you have start to finish a plan. It's a, just like in the 9/11 attack. It had a start where these men trained to fly a plane, and then they had all connections. There was money being funneled in. This is completely different, and this is where it gets terrifying because it's a whole new game scheme.
Intelligence works in three ways. Number one, you have somebody on the inside mm-hmm. who is telling you everything that's going on. That is the absolute hardest way to gather intelligence and the most dangerous way. Number two is you intercept communications. That is a little bit harder. And if you're dealing with an organization like Al-Qaeda that doesn't communicate, it becomes impossible. Mm-hmm. Much of our anti-terrorism and intelligence infrastructure is based on the idea that there will be a letter. There will be a video. There will be an email. There will be a phone call. There will be some contact between Osama and the guys who are going to hijack the planes that we can grab and then mm-hmm. act on.
And hopefully put a stop to it before
the third possibility, the third way that you gather intelligence is follow the money. But most of your international terrorist organizations these days are very good at hiding the money. So,
because the money isn't coming from one place anymore. It's coming from all different places across the world.
But if all else fails, you can follow the money and at least find the people who are funding these organizations, if not the people who are carrying out the attacks. Mm-hmm. So let's throw all that out the window, because you got a couple of guys in Yemen who are putting videos up on the internet saying Allah is great, ISIS is great, go kill some infidels. And then some whack job in Germany and some other whack job in Nice, France, watches these videos and says, you know what, I'm going to go kill some people for ISIS.
What was it? Muhammad al-Adani. Back in 2014, he encouraged people. He said, do it by any means possible. I mean, this isn't an exact quote, but one thing he recommended was take a car into large crowds. This is what he said to do, and this is what is happening. It's not like we hear that and say, no, that could never happen. It could. Think about how many situations you are, especially in the summer when people are outside and you're in large gatherings. Something like that could happen.
Yeah.
We talk about how lucky we are here in the United States where our intelligence is a little bit higher than it is over in Europe.
I wouldn't say that.
But I would say that.
I think that's unfair.
We are better at stopping it. A little better.
I think we are. It's not
because you've said before that it is more difficult to follow out an attack.
It's not that we're
in the United States than it is in, say, France or say in Belgium. Because when I had brought that up and saying what exactly happened in Belgium could happen here, you said it's a little more difficult.
It's not that we're necessarily better at stopping it. It's that we are willing to suspend people's liberties more readily in the name of preventing terrorism.
That is a perfect point.
Because we had the big thing happen on September 11th. Okay?
And we've had the ability to be able to suspend people's liberties.
So I'll give you an example. And this is something that probably should have happened in Nice that would have prevented the attack. When they hold the Oscars in Los Angeles and they have the big red carpet ceremony that's out in the middle of the street, they set up barriers on either side of Hollywood Boulevard, and they stagger them so that you basically have to weave back and forth through these barriers very, very slowly. That prevents anybody from building up enough speed to just crash into the thing and kill anybody. Mm-hmm. And if you see somebody weaving through the barriers who shouldn't be, you got some police sharpshooters up on the rooftops ready to take them out. Nice, yes, pull up.
Nothing.
I mean, there might be a couple of cops standing there. Boom, boom, they're gone. And our friend is off. There are
It's sad. It's scary.
There are things that can be done to make these events safer. And given the type of terrorist that we may be dealing with now, somebody who's just inspired by an internet video and is going to go out and kill somebody, there's no intelligence that can intercept that. There is no intelligence that can stop that.
See, this is why when we had the conversation about getting free tickets to the Euro Cup, that I said I would never go to that just because of the time that we live in.
Except that...
And you thought I was crazy for saying that.
Except that...
Do you still...
Nothing happened during the Euro Cup other than... There were British fans behaving like louts and hooligans, which they do wherever they go. Okay.
No, and there were speculation that there were going to be attacks.
And
so,
and there were Russians
so with that,
and British fighting with each other.
And you have people threatening that event. You're damn well sure that the security is very, very high.
There were something like 40,000 police on the ground in Paris around those events. Mm-hmm. Nobody was getting away with anything in that. Yeah. 818-955-915-9636. It is WMFO. It is The Big Picture. Derek Gary and Lisa Nichols with you until 9 o'clock. On the 10 with Mikey D coming up next. Everything you need to know about the Boston music scene. Stick around for that. When we come back, what's hot? And that's the thing that happened. The favorite and strangest stories from the past week. Now, once again, in honor of Nice, I must break out the Pink Floyd as the Summer of Blood rolls on. And once again, I am left hoping this is the last time I have to play this song here on WMFO Medford.
You can relax. on both sides of the tracks and maniacs. Don't blow holes in bandsmen by remote control. And everyone has recourse to the law. And no one kills the children anymore. No one kills the children anymore. We cannot just write off his final scene. Take heed of the dream. Take heed.
Okay, gang. So, chances are there'll never be an emergency ever, ever again.
Mm-hmm.
But, just in case, let's talk about a plan.
Okay.
So, who's gonna do what? Anyone? Yeah, okay, perfect. We'll figure it out as we go. So, who is going to grab the go bag?
What's a go bag?
It is a bag we do not have that is filled with things we really, really need in an emergency.
Guess we won't have to worry about it then.
Ah, good point. So, we all know who to call if something happens then, right?
I'd have to call Jill, Devin, Melissa, Karen, and Bruce.
And I will try to call all of you, but Greg doesn't have a cell phone. Dad's phone will have a dead battery.
No doubt.
And Julie will be on the phone with Jill, Devin, Melissa, Karen, and Bruce.
Well, this is great. I am so glad that we don't have a plan.
I know.
Winging It is not an emergency plan. Make sure your kids know what to do during an emergency, who to call, where to meet, what to pack. Visit ready.gov/kids for tips and information. A public service announcement brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Everything is awesome. Everything is cool when you're part of a team. Everything is awesome when we live in our dream.
WMFO Medford, I'm Lisa Nichols with Derek Gary, and this is Big Picture, and it's What's Hot, our favorite thing from this week's news. Two brand new breweries that just opened. I had a bunch of friends go this past weekend. Unfortunately, on Sunday afternoon, at Notch Brewing, they kicked all their taps from the weekend. Brewers are really into this, not announcing anymore. They're doing it via social media, specifically Instagram. So it is at 283. Notch was previously brewing out in Connecticut. They have a beautiful, beautiful new building. I drove by it on Saturday. And it has a nice beer garden that overlooks the water. Not so pretty when it's low tide, but nice when it's high tide. Great open, a lot of wood. So that's at 283 Derby Street. And your mayor, Marty Walsh, today was at the ribbon cutting ceremony for Dorchester Brewing. Brand new brewery at 1250 Mass Ave. That's open Wednesday through Sunday, 11 to 11.
I know that neighborhood.
Now, you said you wanted a few more Pokemon stories, right?
Oh, yeah.
Well,
always.
How about
more Pokemans?
Pokemon Go. How about some Chardonnay to go? So if you're like me and not in this world of Pokemon Go, you know that everybody from kids and grandparents are playing, but you like wine like me, you should go. This is a creation of Dina Blizzard. She is a comedian. She made this spoof app, and you can go on YouTube. Just click in Dina Blizzard. It's hilarious. It's basically her running around. Just picture the New Jersey Housewives, but a comedian doing it with Pokemon Go. She lives in Mooresville, New Jersey. She basically picks up glasses and finds them in bushes, on her neighbor's dog, you know, in her cupboards. It's great. So if you want a little escape from the nonsense that Derek's playing.
It's not nonsense. It's a way
of
really,
life. It's really, really cute for it. But I think they should make a Chardonnay Go app.
And by way of validating the fact that this is a very important thing,
yeah.
Dictionary.com has added new words. Always love new words. Always got to go for the new words. Among the new words added to Dictionary.com, Lisa Nichols, Pokemon. Pokemon has been officially added to
Did they edit that in the past week?
Yeah, well, I think the surge in the past week might have actually pushed it over the top.
What official words do we have now?
Some of the other words that are now codified on Dictionary.com.
Wait, so can I use that now in Scrabble?
Pokemon? Yes, you can.
Because it's not a pronoun. I mean, it is, but it's also a thing, too.
Cisgender is a word now.
Oh.
Yeah, it's really an official word. Great for that. Misgender. That's when you call somebody by the wrong gender.
Oops.
That's not a thing that used to happen, but
yeah.
Welcome to Obama's America. Panromantic. That means,
so basically all the words have to do with loving different people and gender.
Panromantic is the new bisexual.
Mm-hmm.
Woke, which actually I'm glad woke is in there.
Yeah.
I like woke. I
woke wasn't before?
No. Huh. Not in the definition of actually being aware of what is going on in the world and being aware of what is happening to specific communities here in the United States of America.
Okay.
I like the word. I think more people should be woke.
Mm-hmm.
Particularly people of the white persuasion. You might want to try extending a little empathy to people of a different background than you, and we could solve some of the problems that we have. There's a very, very strong liberal bias in all of this. But we got some other stuff in here. Gig economy.
Gig economy?
That's why all the millennials are poor. Influencer. Is now in the sense of some idiot YouTuber that can actually get people to buy stuff.
I assumed that was a word.
You'll like this one. Farm to table is now Tooting. Officially a word. Al Desco. That's the people who are having elaborate lunches at mm-hmm. their desk at work. Athleisure.
No.
Is in. Yeah. I know.
Lululemon.
Disappointing to me as
Do
well.
Again.
I hate athleisure, but athleisure is in there. But also in there, lumbersexual. So
yes.
you get a little good with the bad.
That, yeah, lumbersexual. I feel like I brought that up on this show before.
You did. And rounding it out, butthurt is in.
Oh.
Stunned that it wasn't already.
Oh,
I'm kind of butthurt that it wasn't in there already. And in a glaring oversight that is decades old, D-bag. Is now in dictionary.com.
Yes, my phone properly knows that hyphen. And
they are woke to D-bag over there. That's not what woke means, by the way, and that's not how you use it. Mm-hmm. So stay woke, everybody. That's a good, good piece of advice.
As we end the show every week, that's the thing that happened, the craziest story from this week's news. Let's keep with this theme. Michigan. A Milford man learned the hard way that it's important to know where your surroundings are while playing Pokemon Go after he was arrested Thursday when he accidentally biked to a police station while there was a warrant out for his arrest. Milford police said the 26-year-old man, who was still in his pajama pants, rode up to the station at about 10:30 a.m. because it was the site of a gym where players use their virtual pocket monsters to battle other game creatures.
Now that I'm level 10, I have great balls?
Yes.
I have great balls now.
All different sizes. According to Milford Chief of Police Tom Lindbergh, a couple of police officers recognized him because they had contacted him before. After seeing the individual, officers handcuffed him without incident. He was taken to a holding cell at the station and later arraigned and released on personal recognizance bond and left that day. Not good. You gotta watch where you're going. Like you... In the playground.
Was a fun Saturday morning in Wisconsin. Mm. Wisconsin, of all places.
Florida, the north.
Early Saturday morning. So this is after the Friday night drinking, we will assume. Benjamin Schaap failed to negotiate a curve and struck a pole in Verona, a town outside of Madison. Schaap was transported to a local hospital with non-life-threatening injuries. At 6:27 a.m., about 4 hours later, Jordan Spiegel drove off the road and into a tree in Verona, according to the Dane County Sheriff's Office. Spiegel's Mitsubishi Galant caught fire after the crash, but the 26-year-old was able to escape. Both drivers admitted to playing Pokemon Go to law enforcement officers.
I told you we had both a theme drivers, going.
Yeah. So,
good job.
So, folks, drinking and driving and Pokemon Go, no, that is not how you do it. That is all the time that we have for this week. Until next time, Lisa Nichols.
Lovely as always.
And I am Derek Garrett.